10 o'clock. My name is Richard Burke, currently with the honor of chairing the Oregon Government Ethics Committee, and I declare this session to be in order, or open. So I'm going to make a couple of changes without objection today in order to save the most time for the most people. We'll jump around the agenda. We'll start with the consent agenda. Then we'll go to item number 36, the matter of Mr. Bruce Connor. And then we'll go to item number 45, dealing with the audit. And then we will go to executive session, where we will deal with matters that some of the folks sitting here, thank you for coming today, are waiting to deal with. And then we'll go to the rest of the meeting. I want to thank Commissioner Sosa, for our vice chair, for presiding. I was not able to be at the last meeting because of work, and he very capably presided over the meeting. I would also like to note that Commissioner Dan Mason is not here because of work today, and Commissioner Carly Edwards is not here. She apparently is ill, so I'm sure all of us wish her the very best and wish her a very speedy recovery. The first item on the agenda is comments from the chair, and I guess for the moment that would be me. I have been doing a lot of training, as some of you may know. I'm the executive director of a nonprofit called Western Liberty Network, and I train grassroots political activists how to run for local office and how to do various kinds of politics. And in the last month, I've done trainings throughout Eastern Oregon, Ontario Enterprise, Milton Freewater, Baker City, LeGrand, Pendleton, and others. And always at every one of these meetings, I tell people about the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. There are sometimes public officials at these meetings. I invite them to ask OGEC for training and also invite activists to do training as well. And this is always very well received. I'm trying to sort of let folks know, because it's amazing how many people still don't know much about OGEC and what it does and the resources that it can provide. And I know all of the commissioners are prominent in their various fields and areas, so I encourage all of you through civic organizations, service clubs, and so on to do the same. That is comments from the chair. Does anyone else have anything to say for the good of the order this morning? Okay. Then we'll go on to the next item on the agenda, approval of the minutes of the July 12th, 2019 commission meeting. I'll butt out of this because I was not here. Does anyone have anything to add or subtract or change in the minutes? Okay, without objection then, we will consider the minutes approved. So now we'll go to the consent calendar. We have a substantial consent calendar. Are there any items that anyone would like to pull off the consent agenda and consider separately? If we do, we will consider them after we come out of executive session. Commissioner Fiskum.
Thank you, Chair. Not that expressly, but out of the abundance of caution or whatever the phrase is, the record should know that, should reflect that I know the individual involved in number six very well from my career as a lobbyist. That shouldn't prevent me from acting on that item along with the commission.
Thank you very much, and I'm glad you brought that to our attention. I, too, have had a good working relationship with Mr. Simmons over the years, as I'm sure probably most of the people in this room have at one time or another. So thank you for pointing that out, and like you, I don't think that compromises my ability to vote on this matter. Are there any other consent agenda items that people would like to raise issue with or take out of the consent agenda? Okay.
Looks ready for a motion. I'll move approval of the consent calendar.
Okay, it's been moved to approve the consent calendar. I don't think this requires a second, so we'll go to a roll call vote.
Okay.
Commissioner.
What's that?
You can just do all in favor.
Yes. Okay, yes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed nay. Okay. Consent agenda is adopted. In keeping with what I was talking about before, we'll now go to item number 36, the matter of Bruce Connor, and you will see the material on page 149 of your agenda packet. Okay, so let's begin with a staff report.
Campbell, Commissioners, Investigator Susan Myers.
Item 36 is the investigative report for case number 19002 involving Bruce Connor with the Port of Astoria. The commission moved this matter to investigation at its meeting on March 7th. Mr. Connor, who is here, has a contract to serve as the port's cruise industry marketing director and has done so since 2008. He also owns and operates Sundial Shore Excursions, which provides shore excursions and tours to cruise passengers visiting Astoria. Since 2002, the number of cruisers visiting Astoria has increased steadily, and the number of shore excursions that Sundial can offer has increased as well. Exclusivity was one of the issues raised in the preliminary review. It appears that exclusivity is tour-specific. A cruise line will contract with multiple tour operators, each for an exclusive list of shore excursions. During the course of our examination, we looked at several of Sundial's contracts with cruise lines, and it appears that Sundial has exclusive contracts to provide the vast majority of shore excursions in Astoria. This exclusivity is an issue because of changes the Port of Astoria made to its tour operator agreement in 2017. This agreement allows tour operators to access the pier to on cruise days to potentially sell independently booked tours to passengers. Prior to 2017, it was a simple one-page port property usage agreement. But in 2017, the agreement included a new POR policy, which stands for Protection of Onboard Revenue. This policy required tour operators to pay the port a 20% commission on independently booked tours, regardless of whether they were booked on port property. And subsection D prohibited tour operators from providing tours that directly competed with those sold on board. Since Sundial has contracts to provide the majority of the shore excursions sold on board, the effect of the POR policy was to prohibit tour operators from competing with Sundial. Against that background, we can examine Mr. Connor's actions to determine if there were any violations of ORS Chapter 244. The investigation found that there was a preponderance of evidence to indicate violations in 2016, 2017, and 2018. In 2016, Bruce Connor used his position and failed to disclose a conflict of interest when he directed the port's website administrator to update the port's webpage with a list of shore excursions offered by Sundial. As the chart on page 164 in your meeting book indicates, the shore excursions listed on the port's website are all Sundial shore excursions. Some of them have identical descriptions. The chart also shows that all of the shore excursions listed on the websites of five major cruise lines correspond to those of the port's website and those offered by Sundial. Mr. Connor's actions constitute a violation of 244.0401 and 244.120. In 2017, there is evidence that on more than one occasion, Bruce Connor used his position to communicate with cruise line shore excursion representatives in order to gather support for the port's POR policy. In so doing, he violated 244.0401, 0404, and 244.120. In the April 24th email, 2017 email quoted in the report, Mr. Connor disclosed confidential information that he obtained only because of his position that another tour operator was seeking to reverse the policy. And he sought to buttress support for that policy, which again had the effect of maintaining his monopoly on shore excursions. Mr. Connor acknowledged that he was asked by the port to contact the shore excursion managers and that he did not disclose any conflicts of interest. He also confirms he sent a second email similar to the one in the report. In 2018, he repeated these actions. On September 19th, he emailed at least two shore excursion managers, again stressing the importance of the POR policy and alerting them that the port was contacting them. Mr. Connor also drafted language for an email and provided that language and contact information to a port employee who sent it to at least 5 cruise lines. In so doing, Mr. Connor's actions violated 244.0401 and 244.120. Our recommendation is that the Commission make preliminary findings of violation by Bruce Connor for 3 violations of 0401, 1 violation of 244.0404, and 3 violations of 244.120.
Okay, thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions of our investigator before we hear from Mr. Connor? Okay. Mr. Connor, I'd like to begin by thanking you for coming today and representing your side in this matter. We're open to hear whatever you'd like to say. There may be questions after you're finished with your presentation, and then after questions, the board will deliberate and come to some kind of a decision. Do you have any questions at this point?
No questions. I just, okay. First of all, want to suggest when I come to my third visit here, and I much prefer coming down in the summer rather than the winter. I tell you, it's a much better drive. And so thank you for having me today. Thank you for inviting me, and I really appreciate it. It's my purpose here to show some transparency and some clarity. And I certainly understand, talking with the investment with Mary, what I do, and it's a very complicated business. And so this is the process for me, is to peel that onion and find out what direction, what I've done wrong, and how I can improve it, and how to move forward. So thanks for the opportunity for that to be here today. I just want to address just a couple things on here, which I don't disagree with, but I can see how I speak. I can be confusing, but on the suggestion on the web page that is exclusive. This is a situation where you just volunteer information to the port, and they'll put it on their website. What I do, it's old information. I need to update that, and so that's I'm not in control of that. They ask me what are your shore skirts, and so we can, when people cruise ships look on, they can see what's offered on the shore. Anybody's available to do that. That is not restrictive. So that's my, in that conversation, when I give information to the port, I say, well, this is wrong. We no longer have a tour that goes to Fort Stevens. It now goes to. So that is just an updating situation. There's never been a monopoly. The cruise lines would not do that. There's been several tour operators who have operated on that dock, and there's a list of names. And so I think there's a misunderstanding there. And then to address not declaring the potential conflict of interest, that I need to work on.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions of Mr. Connor before we proceed? Okay. And I'd like to thank you, Mr. Connor, for bringing that forward and showing your willingness to work with the Ethics Commission and come into compliance. We'll go to a board discussion. Is there any discussion on the matter? Okay, if not, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt staff recommendation.
Okay, Commissioner Keene moves that we adopt staff recommendation. Is there a second? Second, right. I've presided over too many boards. I'm always in the habit of getting a second, so I apologize for that. Okay, we'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiske?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you very much. Staff will be in touch with you, and we wish you a better day.
I appreciate that.
Take care.
You too, thanks.
Have a safe trip back.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll go to item number 45. Item number 45, I believe, is an audit report. Yes, the audit team presentation.
Hi, my name is Steve Wynn. I'm a principal auditor.
You want to stand up here?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, bring up the second chair. Here you go.
Yeah. So I want to thank the commission for letting us give a little presentation here. My name is Steve Wynn. I'm a principal auditor with the Oregon Secretary of State's Audit Division.
And I'm Bill Newell, a staff auditor with the Audit Division.
And so we just wanted to let you know that we're starting in the very early stages of a performance audit of Oregon's governmental ethics framework, which necessarily includes the Ethics Commission. But we're still very early in the process, so I can answer any questions that you might have about what that process would look like. We don't have any set audit objectives as of this point. We're just looking kind of very generally at Oregon's framework, thinking about some ways we might approach either comparing Oregon's framework to other states or looking at ways that we might be able to improve that framework. So we're in the earliest stage, what we call our scoping stage, where we're just kind of gathering information, talking with people either within the commission or staff here, and then any stakeholders that we can identify who might have some thoughts on ways that we might help the commission improve or improve Oregon's kind of ethics framework. And I think, if possible, our director would like to be able to come back at some point. He wasn't available today, but he'd like to be able to present to the commission as well. And give kind of his thought for why he wanted to start an audit of Oregon's ethics framework and give a little bit more background about what he hopes to kind of get out of that.
Commissioner Fiskin?
A couple quick questions.
Sure.
Thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea how long the audit process would take?
I don't know. At this point, we haven't scoped that out completely yet. They're generally anywhere from 6 months to 12 months, depending on how widely or narrowly we...
There's no magic answer for me. I'm just curious.
Yeah, no.
The second question is, does your process typically include when there is a commission talking with commissioners directly, or
yes,
is this a staff-focused thing?
No.
Either answer is fine with me.
No, I think we would like to talk with commissioners. Whoever wants is willing to speak with us about kind of how the commission operates and improvements that you would see.
Further friendly question, is it up to us to express interest in talking to the audit team?
No, we're going
to the audit team's initiative to seek somebody out.
We've reached out to a few people already, but we may end up speaking with every commissioner if need be, and we're happy to take any input from anyone who wants to give input.
Sure.
So,
thank you very much.
No, absolutely.
Are there any other questions of these fine gentlemen? Commissioner Keene.
Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely.
I look forward to the important process. And although I probably won't be on this commission by the time you finish your audit, I still will be interested in reading it. Do you know if there has been an audit of this commission prior?
To our knowledge, there has been no audit, at least done by the Oregon Audits Division.
Okay. Thank you.
When does your term end, by the way?
February.
Oh, my.
We could certainly talk with you before then.
I think there was a change of director audit. Before I came on.
Oh, that may be true,
When Pat Hearn left, I think it was a change of director audit. But this is a performance audit, so just trying to see how we do, how the laws do. And I think one of the things, one of the things when you talked to us originally was risks that were out there.
Right.
The state's risks with what we do. So looking at those.
Yeah, and in a performance audit, we're generally focused on kind of how an agency or a program is meeting its mission and goals and objectives. So that's kind of the framework we take, as opposed to a financial audit, which is looking at balance sheets. And I'm not an accountant, so I don't know anything about that that side of it. We just do strictly performance audits on our side.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Yep. Okay, so we will now go into executive session to consider preliminary reviews pursuant to ORS 244.260 sub 4 sub D and ORS 171.778 sub 4 sub D, possible own motion preliminary reviews pursuant to ORS 244.260 sub 2 sub D, and to consult with legal counsel regarding current litigation pursuant to ORS 192.660 sub 2 sub H. A lot of subs, letters, and numbers, and dots. So, yes, that's right. And so we will recess the meeting, and we'll go into executive session. And everybody else allowed to stay. So.